Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the fifth day of March 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Dan will also be a guest on our Commodity Week program that we'll record this afternoon at about 3 o'clock. Try to get it posted to our website at willag.org this evening by around 5:30 to 6. You can find it there anytime you'd like. Like all of the rest of our programming, including a way to buy your tickets, and there are only about 20 of those left. We sell around 350 of them, so if you want to go to the all-day ag outlook, better dial in right now at 217-333-7300. Anyway, we'll talk with Dan today, and we'll talk with Matt Bennett, and we'll take a quick look at the weather forecast, too, as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for a Thursday afternoon. March corn at $3.82¾, up a penny and a quarter today. May at $3.90½, up one. In July, three quarters of a cent higher at $3.98¼. And December futures at $4.14¼. March next year at $4.23¼. It finished a half higher for the day. Soy complex bean futures down 9¾, $9.79¼, the settlement price in the March. May at $9.85½, 8½ lower. July at $9.91, down 8¾. And next year's November at $9.66, down 6¾. January, $9.70½, down 6¾ as well. Bean meal futures at $3.34.40, up 30 cents. The bean oil at $3.50, or rather, the bean oil trading at this hour at $31.43. That's up 60 cents for the day. Soft red winter wheat in Chicago at $4.81¼, 12¼ lower. In the nearby March, July at $4.87¾, down 15¼. In Kansas City, hard red July. The harvest month at $5.23¾, 10½ cents lower. Live cattle futures finished the April at $153.60, down 45 cents. Feeder cattle at $206.90, down 32½, but the April were up $1.30 at $205.67½. And the lean hogs for the day finished at $67.75 in the April, 92½ cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Outside markets at this hour are trading crude oil 66 cents lower at $50.87. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.88¼ is a penny and 8 tenths of a cent lower. In gasoline on the wholesale or RBOB price, in the April contract at $1.89¾ is down 2¼ cents. Natural gas at $2.86¼, 9¾ cents higher for the day. And ethanol futures are currently trading at $1.51¼. That's the settlement price for the day, and it is just about 0.2 cents higher. Dow Jones Industrial Average up around 32 points at 18,118. The gold futures at around $1,200 are down a dollar, and the dollar index at 96.395. That's up 0.409. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Sunny skies, a high of just 16 degrees. Tonight, clear, a low of 1. Tomorrow, sunny and a high of 28. Friday, partly cloudy and a low of 25. Saturday, mostly sunny skies. Get this, 41 degrees, partly cloudy on Saturday evening. We'll drop to 25. Sunday, 42 degrees under partly sunny skies. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 26. Monday, it'll be sunny and 45. Sunny on Tuesday and 52. And Wednesday, mostly sunny, and we'll go all the way to 57 degrees. We'll talk more about that weather forecast and the outlook for next week, not only for the United States, but for South America. When we get to the bottom of the half hour, we'll discuss it with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. He is, of course, in Kansas City, Missouri, and joins us on this Thursday.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
It is the fifth day of March, 2015. On the phone line with us here is Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. They're headquartered there in Mandeville, Louisiana. For him, he is joining us to talk about the marketplace. Hey, Dan, it's been really quiet, although when you look at the soybean numbers, they have managed in new crop to drop pretty substantially. What do you make of that, and what kind of conditions have caused it?
Well, I think the number one condition, of course, is supply. Commodities are driven by supply. And this year we have adequate supplies around, even though maybe some look for the ending stocks level to maybe be tucked in a little bit next Tuesday. But it's old crop supplies here. It's expectations that we're going to see a big jump in new crop soybean plantings. And, of course, we do have the South American crop coming in, and farmers in South America are aggressively selling their soybeans. So you take all that, put it together, and that's been the key force behind the soybean complex. Now, I know a lot of people are pointing to the strength in the dollar, and yes, that is a troublesome sign. Long-term, if the dollar would continue to strengthen, because that just is going to make U.S. goods just more expensive to world buyers, no matter where they're at. But the key in soybeans is pretty much looking ahead. If we have favorable weather, we're going to be building stocks, and that's just pretty difficult to overcome in soybeans without any kind of weather issues for the new crop. And most likely, if we have any weather issues, it would, at least early weather issues, would probably be more bearish soybeans, because if we did get into some kind of corn planting delays in one region or the other, then they would just, you know, wind that clock that we would even see even more soybean acres. So soybeans are fighting that headwind, and it's just very difficult to get anything going on the upside on that.
And up and down the Mississippi River along the Delta, have you heard much about movement and whether producers, even in as far south as Louisiana where you're located, are ready to move into the fields at this time? I know they're ready, but can they and will they very shortly?
Not looking at the precipitation totals that that area has had over the past 30 days, the past 2 weeks, the past week. And I think that when you look at, unless we see an overall change in the jet stream, and, you know, the National Weather Service with their 6 to 10 and 8 to 14s are trying to bring in warmer, more seasonal, actually even above normal type temperatures, drier than normal precip levels. We'll see if that develops as we go into the official start of spring on the 20th or 21st. But my guess is, if you look at the whole South, I know Texas doesn't count much for corn, but they're like 4% planted, but that's primarily in the valley. Once you get into central Texas, the soils are saturated. You get into the panhandle, the soils are saturated. And that pretty well, you know, you look at your storm tracks, and it kind of started in the Oklahoma-Texas panhandle and just kind of marched right across to Arkansas and then right on into the northern part of the Delta and then right through the Ohio River Valley. So those areas that usually start scratching around the first week or so of March, and a lot of those guys, I haven't talked to John Bondurant lately, maybe you need to give him a call, because those guys like to kind of get the corn planted by March 15th. And March 15th ain't that too far down the road. That doesn't look like that's going to happen this year. And that's the same way in Texas. Everybody likes to get their crop planted no later than April 1, because once you do that, then you run the risk of pollinating in some of the hottest temperatures of the year in those areas. And even irrigation rigs can't keep up if it would turn into an extremely hot situation. So that may be the start of the first weather issue, depending upon, you know, how the precipitation pattern shapes up here over the next couple of weeks, is that we may begin to talk about planting delays or not a less than timely planting in the southern Corn Belt.
And if that were to spread, as you mentioned, into the Midwest, where they would delay planting not of soybeans but of corn, and then produce, then traders might begin to think about more soybean acres actually being put into the ground. That would be coupled, I suppose, with the switch from North America to South America, which is happening now for the export market and could put a lot of pressure on both the front month and back month soybean prices.
Yeah, it could. Now, when I look at the long-term corn-soybean ratio, it is going to move in the direction of planting corn acres, or it's going to move in that direction over the next year and a half, and I think we're going to go down to 2-to-1 or 1.8-to-1. So when you look at the long-term corn-soybean ratio in the five-year cycle pattern, traders and even my technical system has been buying three units of corn and selling one unit of soybeans as a spread, and that has been a very profitable spread basically since last fall. Now, the technical system kicked everybody out here a few weeks ago, but now it's taking everybody back long again. So either corn is going to rally to bring the ratio into 2-to-1, or soybeans are going to fall. And, of course, if corn would hold steady, let's say at $3, then you get the $8 bean talk that everybody wants to talk about, you know, for several months. And that could be realized if, in fact, we are going to plant less corn acres and plant more soybean acres, and we have a favorable growing season.
So this year would be a turning point year, potentially, and USDA pointed to this in its Ag Outlook Forum, saying that in the future, while U.S. farmers would remain the number one producer of corn across the planet, in the export market and in total, both, that they would give that up to South America, starting into Brazil, in fact, starting in the 2016-17 growing season.
Well, the trend of South America producing more and more soybeans continues, and I think I've said this several times when you look at long-term prospects, is that the day is going to come, if it's not already come, that South America will have supplies to sell in soybeans year-round, and that is a major dramatic shift that we've seen here in U.S. agriculture. And if that becomes then a full-time seller of soybeans, then it's really going to put some downward pressure on U.S. soybean values, unless we have a big growth, demand growth coming at us. Now, China's been a very strong appetite for soybeans, and they continue to be, you know, the next country with the needs to upgrade protein diets is going to be India. When that kicks in, nobody really knows, but that's going to be a good market at some point in time for proteins, not on the red meat side because of religious beliefs, but soybean meal and those type of cereal proteins should see a big, strong kick up in demand.
Hey, I'm looking forward to taking this discussion up more with you during Commodity Week later this afternoon, and, of course, next week at the All-Day Ag Outlook on Tuesday.
Very well.
That is Dan Zwicker. He's with CGP Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana, and will be a guest on our Commodity Week program. You can hear it on our website at willag.org, probably later this evening if you'd like, tomorrow on our home radio station and on many of these radio stations over the weekend. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's Ag News.
Senate Finance Committee Chairman Orrin Hatch says he has been in negotiations with the panel's ranking Democrat, Ron Wyden, on trade promotion authority legislation that they could co-sponsor and introduce later this month and perhaps bring to the floor in April. Getting Congress to agree to a TPA bill is seen by many as a prerequisite to concluding several free trade agreement negotiations, including the Trans-Pacific Partnership. China lowered its economic growth forecast to around 7% this year at the opening of the country's biggest political event of the year, ushering in what leaders have dubbed a new normal of slower growth in the world's second largest economy. And China's government plans to spend more, building up its commodity stockpiles this year while taming its consumption of coal. The country's Ministry of Finance today says it will spend $24.7 billion this year to build up its reserves of grains, edible oils, and what it termed other materials. That is a 33% rise on such spending compared with 2014. China imported record-high imports of oil, iron ore, copper, and other commodities last year, as prices for key commodities fell to their lowest levels in more than 5 years. Brazil's highways were free of blockades yesterday, allowing the free flow of soybeans to ports, crushers, and meat plants and diesel to harvesting soy farmers. Truckers suspended protests until next week to give the government time to respond to demands for lower diesel prices and higher base freight rates. The Brazilian Animal Protein Association estimates that the blockades caused around $234 million in losses to the pork and poultry industry. Many plants had to suspend production and lost animals because of a lack of grain and an inability to send trucks to customers. A GOP-led effort in the Senate to override President Barack Obama's veto of the Keystone XL pipeline failed yesterday on a 62-37 vote. 67 yes votes were necessary to override the veto of the bill, which would have authorized a Canadian company to construct the almost 1,200-mile pipeline. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is your Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media, and he puts together the All-Day Ag Outlook. As of early this morning, there were only about 20 tickets left available for that event, which is next Tuesday at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. If you want to go, better call. Call right now at 217-333-7300. We won't mail those tickets out. We'll just make them available for you at the door. It's $25, but call now to reserve your ticket for the All-Day Ag Outlook over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Those listening to the markets every day know there's a big difference between the number of acres the trade thinks there will be planted to soybeans and the number of acres USDA is so far projecting. These aren't as far apart as you might think, and there may even be some positive wiggle room in them. The trade has long thought U.S. farmers will plant about 86 million acres of soybeans. USDA thinks they'll plant 83.5 million. Because USDA is using a much bigger national average yield, the total number of soybeans raised is only about 56 million bushels apart, both in the 3.8 billion bushel range. USDA thinks that means the cash price of soybeans paid to farmers next year will average about $9. University of Illinois Ag economist John Newton has a brighter outlook.
Well, I just think if you look at the big picture supply and demand fundamentals in soybeans, one would think that, you know, with supply building, ending stocks projected to build next year, production increasing, the natural assumption then is that prices are going to come down. And so USDA pegs the soybean marketing year average price to be about $9 a bushel. That's $1.20 below where we are projected to be this year. And so, you know, that's just a supply and demand relationship. And I certainly think that there's opportunity for that price to come up from there.
This opportunity lies in the soybean export market, which is already on pace to set a record for this year and projected by USDA to even be better next year.
And so where's the potential for prices? Well, USDA has lower planted acreage of soybeans, but a pretty high yield. So if we come back to anywhere near a trend yield on soybean, and trend is 44.3 bushels per acre if you go back to 1960, if we come anywhere near that, we could have a lower total production of soybeans, and with a strong consumption, we may be able to see stocks reduce next year. Although it may be highly unlikely, but if stocks reduce, we could see some positive price pressure.
Farmers will add their take on how many acres of soybeans will be planted in the prospective plantings report to be released March 31st. USDA is now surveying that. Let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. Matt Bennett is here from Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. He's been traveling all across the Midwest and the nation over the past several months. Last week, he was in Phoenix, Arizona at the Commodity Classic. This week, I think you were in Iowa. Tell me about your visits with farmers and what they had to say, please.
Well, you know, Commodity Classic was a pretty good gauge. You know, we were able to talk to producers from all over. We did the early morning riser session on Thursday, and there was about 800 guys there. So got to visit with several of them after the meeting that day, and then some of them came by and talked to me there at the Channel Tent booth. And so, you know, it was pretty interesting. Most guys are still kind of talking, you know, hey, there might be some swing acres here, but for the most part, it sure seems like, you know, bean acres are probably going to creep up a fair amount, probably more than what the Outlook Forum said. And, you know, corn acres could grow if we had a really, really good spring from the, you know, 87 or 88 some guys are calling for, but probably going to need a little rally as well.
Yeah, so the Outlook called for 83.5, as we just heard on the air prior to you joining us. The trade was thinking about 86. What kind of number are you working with?
You know, I think 86 anyway. You know, it could be a little more. I think based upon soybean sales with different people in and around the seed industry, I think it's become fairly obvious to me that, you know, we could be looking at least 86. And I think just so much of it depends on weather. You know, looking at how much of the Great Lakes are covered by ice. And, you know, guys in northeastern Iowa last night are talking, hey, we hope we get a good start this spring because the last couple's been rough on us. And you know, when we get behind the eight ball like that, they said we have a tough time growing a great crop. So, you know, a lot remains to be seen, but it sure seems like we might be getting a little bit of a late start if this weather doesn't break big time.
All right. Hey, you know what? We'll talk more with you during Commodity Week and then again next week over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Todd.
All right. Matt Bennett with Channel Seeds.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Cheese Doodle Day. The cheese-flavored snack debuted sometime in the 1950s. They were invented at the old London Melba Toast factory in the Bronx when workers discovered a machine that extruded cornmeal in a long air-filled string. They chopped the string into bite-sized pieces and coated it with cheese. By the way, the product has always been baked, not fried. On this day in agricultural history in 1558, Francisco Hernandez supposedly introduced tobacco to Europe. At first, it was grown only as an ornamental plant. It was not until the 1580s that tobacco smoking caught on in Europe with the return of some Virginia colonists. They created a stir by smoking tobacco from pipes. In 1836, on this day, Charles Goodnight was born. He is said to have devised the first chuck wagon from an army wagon in the 1850s or 1860s, with various shelves and compartments for food, equipment, utensils, and medical supplies. In 1893, Emmett J. Culligan was born. He was the founder of the water treatment company that carries his name. And in 1991, on this day, the nation's 5,000,000th patent was issued to Lonnie O. Ingram of the University of Florida. The patent was for a genetically engineered form of the E. coli bacterium that converts plant material into ethanol. It took Ingram and his team 2 years of work and $150,000 to convert almost any biomass into fuel. And that's this day in agricultural history.
The 26th Annual All-Day Ag Outlook Meeting is on Tuesday, March 10th at the Beef House in Covington. Tickets are at willag.org or call 217-333-7300. Thanks to these businesses for their support: Stuart Peterson, Farm Credit Illinois, Whitesville Mill Services, and Global Commodities Analytics and Consulting.
This is the Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. We usually talk with Mike Tenora of T-Storm Weather out of Chicago. He's out of the office for a couple of weeks. No worries, because Drew Lerner is here with today's agricultural weather forecast.
Midwest weather is going to improve now. We are done with all of the extremely cold conditions, and all the heavy rains and snow have abated as well. The good news is only going to last for about a week, but enjoy it while you can. There will be another opportunity for significant precipitation coming back into the region by the end of next week, and especially in the second weekend of the two-week outlook. But for the next 10 days, conditions will get definitely better. In fact, you'll be pleased to know that their temperatures during the early to middle part of next week are going to rise above average. We may see high temperatures by this time next week in the 50s and 60s in the lower parts of the Midwest, while temperatures in the north will be in the 30s and 40s. It'll be a slow crawl into the warmer than normal range, but we'll get there gradually over the next few days. The outlook in hard red winter wheat country is also looking up for the warmer bias conditions, but they still need a greater amount of precipitation. High temperatures in some of the central and southern plains will be in the 60s and 70s for Monday through Wednesday of next week before some cooling takes place in the second half of the week. And again, as I mentioned before, there will be another large-scale storm system possibly impacting portions of the Midwest as we get out to about the 15th through the 17th, and the storm will begin in the hard red winter wheat country about a day earlier than that. Between now and then, the only significant storminess that's likely to occur across parts of the Midwest will be when a cool front cuts across the region. This will occur from Wednesday into Thursday of next week. At that time, we'll see a little rain and rain changing to snow occurring across the region. Down in South America, everything still looks about as it has. There is going to be an increase in precipitation across Brazil for a while this weekend and into next week. There will be enough rainfall to cause some delay in farming activity, including the harvest of soybeans. And the greatest area of concern will be in Sao Paulo, parts of Minas Gerais, and Goiás. The rest of Brazil will see well-timed mixes of rain and sunshine through a big part of the next 10 days to 2 weeks, and the bottom line will still be quite favorable for crops. Today's forecast is drier for Rio Grande do Sul, the southernmost state in Brazil, and that is not going to fester into a problem for at least quite a little while yet. The subsoil moisture is plentiful in that state. Argentina will see net drying over this next 10 days. That situation will be favorable for corn and soybean production potential, since many of the key production areas are excessively wet right now, and a week to 10 days of drier weather at this time of the year will likely translate into better crop and filling and maturation conditions, and continuing to support high yield potentials for most of the nation. In areas outside of South America, we're still looking at good general conditions in India after rainfall this week, and parts of China will start to warm up as we move into the second half of this month, stimulating some new crop development in rapeseed and winter wheat country.
Our thanks to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated for stepping in and updating the weather forecast here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report for the 5th day of March. That wraps it up. Thanks so much for being with us. Don't forget to dial in now. The tickets are going fast for the All-Day Ag Outlook, 217-333-7300. 7,300, just a very few tickets left. I'm Todd Gleason.